Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
On the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa.
Casey got another pick. Sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
We are just a tick off, I tell you, but yep. Hey, man, happy Monday, guys. Hope you're having a good day. And again, Mike and I trying to keep you sane and give you a little normalcy as we do here on the program. We did have a good weekend, by the way, and we're going to get to the Falcon Report coming up here in just a sec and let you in on some of the things we've been talking about today. If you're just joining the show, if you're listening on radio.com on all your devices, thank you, guys, whether it's Alexa or Google. Your smart speakers are always there, and they're easy to teach them how to listen to us. So we invite you to do that as we come your way live from the Mobile Kia Studios. Speaking of the weekend, man, I saw you. You got out. You walked a little bit. You hit me up, and you were like, dude, I need to walk. I got to get out. So Piedmont Park was not as packed as it was 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think between the mayor's comments and the governor as well, people kind of maintain a little more social distancing than because, matter of fact, the first weekend that after everybody kind of really hit the fan with coronavirus, the Beltline still had a lot of people on it, but Piedmont Park a little less crowded this week. But as I did say, Carl, to see see some friends you hadn't seen in a while, saw a bunch of families with their kids, and again, all following the protocols and keeping distance. And then, of course, all those incredibly hot women wearing yoga pants. It does instill a sense that we will all get through this, Carl. That we know again, we'll fight through it. But boy, there were some beautiful women in those tight yoga pants. And aren't the yoga pants just an amazing invention? Whoever made those, we give you a big shout out. Good job.
You just did. Yeah, I have no idea.
I salute you.
I have no idea who invented them.
No, I'm just whoever did. I just, I salute you, sir. So, yeah, that was, and the guys were like, oh, you're going to say that? What if your wife looks at your Twitter? Well, she won't exactly be turning handsprings. Do some of these married guys live in fear like this, Carl? Because I tweet this out over the weekend, about how I'm at the park and there's a lot of hot chicks in yoga pants. I was like, you let your wife know about this? I go, well, not like I'm bringing somebody home. I'm watching someone walking 10 feet ahead of me in yoga pants, okay? It's in my stream of consciousness. What can I tell you?
Yeah, listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with, a hearty compliment or...
Right.
We've talked about this. There's a difference between that and, again, hey, you want to come home with us? What is this, Tiger King? No.
right.
But I understand what you're saying, and I think most men appreciate that. Here's the difference between you and me and the rest of these guys, or at least most of our listeners, Mike. You know this. We say things they won't.
Don't. That's right. That's why, that's why most guys, and, you wouldn't starve for like 4 or 5 years in the radio business like we did, knowing that at the end of the day, we might actually have a really cool job in a big city doing this. So this is not a normal job, you're not a normal. Now, again, I always say, Carl, if I wasn't doing this, I'd be behind the bar. I'd be that blabby bartender. Oh, this bartender won't shut up. Yeah, that'd be me. But anyway, man, it is 5 o'clock and I hope everybody has, a routine, Carl. I think you and I, we've kind of figured it out. You did some spring cleaning. I kind of did that last week, but just trying to do stuff to keep you, keep you busy the last couple of days.
Yeah. And I've started getting out, I'm fortunate. I've got a somewhat of a gym in the house here, but it's like with anything. This is why people have memberships. You want to go see and interact with people, right?
Right.
And even with that, I found myself getting out and going on these long walks in the morning and trying to get a routine, as you said. And I've done that in the past, but for whatever reason now, they seem just a little bit more liberating as I'm out, And I said this, as you pass people on the streets, and I know you encounter this as well. And here's the point we're getting to. I think for the first time, Mike, And we've got some more time in front of us, guys, but I think it's actually now sinking in with a lot of people, the gravity of this situation. And right. So, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, a couple of weeks, yeah, all right, I'll be at home. And then you realize that this social distancing and the processes that are in place are going to be in place at least for another 3 or 4 weeks. And you're like, what? So the gravity is setting in, but people are as nice as ever, man. And I got to say that. I say this all the time, be kind. And I think you're seeing more of that, Mike. Maybe in the end, when this is all said and done, maybe we are better for this. And I hope that's the case.
Right. I know that, as we said, you know, when this first started to hit and realized it's Carl's point, just how serious this is going to be. And I think the president, you know, I think he was trying to give some people some positivity and trying to, you know, hey, look, we're coming out of this. And then, as he said, he's going to listen to the medical professionals and they say we're going to have to lock it down for April. So, look, the sooner we get through this, the sooner we can start talking about what is an NFL season going to look like. Like, what's a college football season? When is the NBA? When's baseball going to get rolling? But I'm with you on this. I think you go back to that sort of, you know, we're all in this together vibe after like a 9/11, where I do think that, you know, unfortunately, there's, you know, people that you just, everyone's so polarized about everything these days. I do think this is one thing now that we're finally realizing, Carl, where we got to be for the next month. Yeah, man, let's all be positive. You know what I mean? Let's not be Twitter trolls. I don't hear a lot of people honking their horns as much because I think there's bigger fish to fry these days, right?
No, there really is, man. And so whatever you're doing to help people, keep doing it. And let's stay strong and we'll get through this. Let's talk about what's going on with our Falcons, because our owner is getting a lot of love, or at least a lot of exposure right now, because he's one of the first owners to come out and speak about what the potential season could be. He did that with Peter King, and Mike and I have been talking about it today. We're also going to talk about a guy that I think fits all of our needs, but are we willing to go get him? But first, Mike, let's talk about Arthur Blank, because I don't think this is a bad thing for the NFL, by the way. Somebody hit me up on Twitter, and we invite you to follow us across all social media platforms, guys. It is 929 The Game. Of course, that's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Follow Mike at Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, the radio show Dukes and Bell 929. Somebody said, man, do you think this is a bad look? Because Arthur, isn't he hurting the potential, you know, of what could be in an NFL season? No, because we don't know. We could be past this in 2 months and we could have everything back to normal. Or we might not be, and he's talking in reality. There's nothing wrong with saying this is a real possibility. And, Mike, I think that's what scares people. It's like, what does he mean? Just because Arthur Blank said it doesn't mean it's going to happen. But the fact that he is in that room of the other 32 billionaires that own NFL teams, right, he knows exactly what the mindset is. And I don't think this is any secret that – what he's saying is probably what's being discussed.
No, I mean, and as Peter King points out in the Monday morning, Football Morning in America article, you know, Arthur's a tech-savvy guy, and he's an owner that gets, you know, marketing. He understands the public, what we want, but the reality is nobody knows. So I think there's no harm in spitballing it. And for those who don't know the reference, spitball means you're throwing stuff on a wall. Basically, let's come up with some ideas and just kind of see what's going to stick. In the case of the NFL, could you actually find a way to go find some place that's not a hot zone, test every player on every team, and everybody who's part of the, you know, servicing that team, whether it's, you know, trainers and everybody else, NFL personnel, TV, can you find a way to get these guys in a clean environment, quarantine them, and then play the games if we still had some really bad hotspots in some of the major cities in America when football season starts? I think that's where we're at least somebody's thinking out loud about this, because how else are we going to figure this out?
So, with that said, Arthur Blank says that he believes the season could be shortened, potentially. We're thinking about all options. He says, you know, less games, and then obviously no fan attendance, potentially, and all guys being tested. Those are really the four key things that he talked about in the Peter King article, and you guys can go check it out, but it's just got us talking today. The other thing we're talking about, Mike, is Wednesday's April 1st, and for us, especially on this show, our focus really changes, and we try to talk draft every day because it's what people care about. It's what we know our listeners care about, and we've seen how a draft can change the franchise, and we did that in 2016. But we've been talking today about a couple of things, and, you know, for the Falcons, it's great that we went out and got Dante Fowler, and we're chasing him down, guys. We hope to get him before the end of the week here and get a chance to talk to Fowler, but how do you replace Devondre Campbell? And, you know, is that more of a priority than going out and, Mike, for example, getting a guard or getting a potential replacement at safety? What is the priority there? Is it, okay, you need a guy that you can plug and play and start Devondre Campbell's place? Because you've said it time and time again, we have basically right now two starting linebackers. Everybody else are depth guys.
So I got to go get a linebacker, whether I do that in the second round. And there's guys, again, when you guys are doing the mock drafts, because as I said, Carl and I were talking about this earlier, mock drafts are so popular now, it's almost like fantasy football because everybody's got nothing but time on their hands. So if you've been doing as many as I have, you remember, guys, a middle linebacker, a guy who's like 250 or 245, that's not what we're looking for. Because first off, we don't even do that style. And that kind of that size guy doesn't really exist anymore in the NFL, right? Carl, the old Ray Lewis side, sized old school middle linebacker. We want guys that are lighter than that. We want a guy. Now, Devondre was a big guy that could move, but you're looking for outside linebacker or an inside linebacker who can project that he could be lighter and move and be your weak side guy. So there's a couple of those guys, but I got to be honest, in the mock drafts I do, it's kind of like pass rush. There's like there's Chase Young and there's everybody else. There's like there's Simmons, there's Murray from Oklahoma, and then there's everybody else at outside linebacker.
All right, so let's talk about Simmons because, again, if he has increased his draft status, and he has, first of all, he's fast. That's number one. You can't teach speed. So when a guy runs 4.3 and you can put him in coverage, you can put him on the edge, you can put him at linebacker, he creates so many things versatility-wise that you can do. So here's what we know right now. Our needs, as Mike laid out, linebacker, edge rusher. If you want to do O-line, fine. Running back, Mike, because, again, Todd Gurley's on a one-year deal. If you don't feel like the stable of backs you have are going to be good enough. And then DB. So what do you put the number one by if you have all of these things? LB, edge, O-line, running back, DB. Where do I put the little number one and circle it next to? What position?
Well, I guess I got to go. I mean, do you say D-tackle? I mean, just because you got guys that are rotating in, but do we have a guy next to Grady you really feel really great about? To me, guard is big, but you can get a guard. You can get a center or you can get a tackle who can project a guard in the second round or later. But, I mean, defensive edge rusher, that okay. means like Kalavon Chaisson, because if you feel that guy can do his thing. Do you have faith in Tack? Do you think that Tack is never going to really be the guy? I think most Falcon fans like me feel Tack. I don't know where he's at. I don't think he's... You know, I'm not saying he's a bust yet, but he sure is trending that way. So do you think edge is number one? You got corner. You got Sheffield, Isaiah Oliver. There's some killer cornerbacks you could grab in the first round, too.
All right. Let me say this about
what do you think? I mean, what's your number one? What's your number one right now?
I'm going to tell you that I think we still need to focus on the defense. I would tell you linebacker, as we talked about, whether it's Simmons or Chaisson, whoever, or edge, because we still need another guy. Even if Tack turns out to be that dude finally that we think he can be, and he hasn't been bad, he just hasn't been great. He's been okay. And you know, now we're getting to a point in Tack's career where we got with Vic Beasley as we're looking at him and going, okay, are you going to take the next step? I've said this about guys in this league. Guys come in, and the great players from the jump, you know they're great. You know that they're going to be go-getters. Some guys, it takes a year or two. But at the end of the day, right now, we shouldn't be having this conversation about Tack McKinley and whether or not he's going to be a player or not. So you still need a dude. You still need another guy to go with what you've got in Grady and Fowler. And you go draft a guy, whether it's Simmons, who I love, or someone else. And that's, I think it's got to be, you put that little number one, Mike, and you circle it by on the defensive side. I don't think, and I know it's a concern for you, and I get it. And we may get into the season, and I may be going, Mike Bell, you're right. I was wrong. But I don't know if offensive line is as a concern for them with the guys they have in the stable already. I really don't. I think they think, Mike, I think they believe Gono can be their starting guard. I really do.
Well, D. Lizzo is, no, Mike, he's not ready, small school guy. I mean, like, I know a bunch of guys that I would certainly take in guard could be there for you in the second round. I just don't want to get to the point where then we're doing third and fourth round, then we're getting another Sean Harlow. We're getting another guy who's just a guy on the roster. He's never got a chance to really compete. So I think, like last year, you know, you could have probably gotten McGarry in the second round. They thought he was a talent to move up for at the end of the first. We all agreed Lindstrom's going to be the guy. The positive side for the line is Lindstrom's good to go. McGarry's ready. With Lindstrom next to him, he's better. And then any of those other guys will step up at guard. It's a big if, man. We just know how bad we were running the football and protecting Matt Ryan. I'm with you, though, bro. Javon Kinlaw, if he's there at 16, we got to take him. But some mock drafts have us trading down and finding the guys we need.
I don't want to hear. Here's the other thing, Mike. I don't want to hear any more excuses about what we don't have on defense. Go get him, right? Let's go get him.
And by the way, Devondre Campbell, he got fish heads and rice for a contract. He got an incentive-laden deal for 1 year. So it wasn't like everyone thought he was the be-all, end-all.
Hey, man, Falcon Report, as always, is brought to you by our friends at Domino's.
Domino's, guys, don't forget the tracker of your pizza to see where it is. When you order it, go to Domino's.com. There's all sorts of great deals. Get all the specifics on those medium two-topping pizzas like $5.99 when you go to Domino's.com.
Coming up, Super Agent Pat Dye Jr. joins the show. We'll talk about some of his clients, the negotiating process right now in the NFL. What's the climate? He's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foy & Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, guys, we've been trying to bring you updates in the latest on what's going on with the upcoming NFL draft. And this guy's been doing it for a very long time. As a matter of fact, he represents one of our Falcons, and Calvin Ridley, and many others has over the years. His name is Pat Dye Jr., and he joins us right now on the WaitFor.com hotline. And, Pat, first of all, as we've been asking all of our guests, you know, I know this has been a big adjustment for everybody. How are you and your family doing?
We're doing well. Everybody's healthy. Everybody's safe. And, you know, before I even started, I wanted to let everyone know that my thoughts and prayers are with anyone whose family's been affected by this. And, you know, I know we got a lot of nervous and worried people, but we've survived wars on domestic soil, foreign soil, medical plagues, financial crises, all the above. And you know, we're the greatest country on earth and the best country on earth, and we'll survive this. And clearly we're going to have to do it together.
Right on, big guy. And that's the thing, Pat. And by the way, good to talk to your brother. Your dad's okay, by the way?
Yeah, he is. You know, he's 80. And
right.
Things start breaking down. It's apparently, and I wasn't aware of this because he's my oldest parent. My mom's 79, but apparently 80 is a big medical mile marker, if you will. He's fine. I mean, he doesn't have the energy and the juice that he, you know, would like to have and all that. But, in fact, I talked to him yesterday. I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm 80. and that's all he has to say. So, but he's doing well. And, I think his health is good. You know, he's had some issues with kidney stones in the past and that kind of thing. But I think all things considered, he's doing well. He's up every day at 5:30 working on his farm and tree farm and fooling with horses and just whatever he does. Loves to get on a tractor, which is hilarious to me at 80 years old, but whatever. It's what he does.
Yeah, you got to love Dad, man. Of course, we're talking with Pat Dye Jr., his father, Pat Dye, and you guys are familiar with Pat Dye and his accomplishments. You've got some interesting guys in this upcoming draft, you know, K.J. Osborne, wide receiver. He's a 4-4 guy. You got LaMichael Perine from Florida, the running back. You know, Ben Victor, the wide receiver at Ohio State. But before we talk about some of these guys, let's talk about negotiations in the NFL. You know, how has it changed for you? Because now we've got a new CBA, and, of course, that won't go into effect until next year. But you're looking at this and – how has it changed from when you got into this thing and now where you are with clients? And is it more difficult? Is it easier in your perspective?
Well, gosh, Carl, I'm sad to, well, I guess proud and embarrassed at the same time to say that I've been in this business long enough that when I got into this business in 1987, there was no such thing as free agency. Mm. And then we had Plan B free agency. And then finally, I guess in 93, we had full-fledged free agency. But, you know, obviously the league has done a great job of growing revenues. So these contracts are just astronomical compared to, you know, what I was dealing with in the earlier stages of my career. So, you know, our big thing approaching free agency is just preparation. I mean, heck, we had Ha, Clinton Dix, Andrew Whitworth, Kenyon Drake, Nick O'Leary, Al Woods. We had 10 or 12 veteran free agents, and you're dealing with 32 teams. So we're very systematic in our approach, and we meet with all 32 teams at the combine and try to go through all our guys and talk to them and qualify them, you know, whether they're interested. If so, you know, how interested and that kind of thing, because the money goes quickly. And, you know, this year was really, really strange for any number of reasons. Number one, we passed that CBA at midnight on a Saturday night, and we didn't get notice until noon the next day. And then free agency started 24 hours later. And I don't know that agents or teams completely had their head around the new terms of the CBA. And then you had about 10 or 12 guys get tagged the morning of free agency starting that teams I thought might think they would be available. So everybody's kind of recalibrating, resetting. So all of, and then you got the virus and facilities are getting shut down and people are getting sent home and general managers and cap guys are not able to work together. Just things just weren't as efficient. So it was a slower pace for sure. And we stayed in the office probably through the first 3 days. And then my cell phone, oddly enough, stopped working in the office. So I started working remotely from home. But it's been an interesting year. And only the NFL is, strong enough to insist that we start free agency on time, despite the fact we're in a global pandemic. And they've also, as you know, made a decision we're going to have the draft at schedule as well. So,
right.
Which I think actually will, I think it's one thing we can say about the NFL, it is very opportunistic when you look at hosting a Super Bowl, hosting the draft, what have you. So I think what's going on, there's no sports being played right now, and the NFL is the number one brand in our country, number one viewership, the whole thing. So what better opportunity to host the draft on national television? Granted, the guys won't be there, but the announcement of the decision is what everybody's into. Right. And when you've got a sports-crazed and sports-starved nation, it's all sitting at home, by the way, you know, and looking for the next thing to watch on television, I think this is going to play right into the league's hands in terms of rolling out the stars of tomorrow, the Joe Burrows and the Chase Youngs and the Tuas and, you know, you name the players. So I think they'll have a very, very captive audience. So in that regard, I think it's probably, you know, pretty smart. But, man, the general managers are upset with the league office.
I was just going to ask you, it's Pat Dye Jr., by the way, if you just tuned in, guys, agents repping Calvin Ridley and a bunch of stars in the NFL for years, one of the good guys in the business. And I was going to say, do you buy that argument, though? I mean, shouldn't they still miss on half the first round anyway, Pat, but, I mean, they don't have a chance to do to the pro days. How big is that?
Well, you know what's fascinating is I saw Kevin Colbert, who's the GM of the Steelers, and he just said, look, in 1974, the Steelers had the greatest draft class in the history of the NFL. I mean, it was Lynn Swann and John Stallworth, and there was a safety that was a really good player. Anyways, they drafted like four or five Hall of Famers in one draft class. And Kevin said, you know, they didn't have pro days. They didn't have a combine. They didn't have top 30 visits where the teams got to bring the players in. They didn't go to, you know, again, on-campus private workouts and have all these interviews with teams and stuff. So I think at the end of the day, and I think this is why the commissioners made the decision, everyone's operating from a level playing field. No one has an advantage. Everyone is disadvantaged because all the facilities are shut down. And he's not going to let teams that are located in states that have less restrictive quarantines or advisories or what have you have an advantage over the others. I don't think he's going to let them have their war rooms open on draft night. I mean, I literally think this whole thing's going to go down remotely. I mean, at least as far as I know.
Wow, that's interesting. Pat Dye joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Go ahead.
And, Carl, one other thing I just thought about that's a very interesting dynamic. I mean, look, you can take all – I mean, and I do think it's overkill what NFL teams do now. I mean, because you've got – theoretically, a guy's played 4 years in the SEC, which is like NFL-light. And then, you know, they play in a Senior Bowl. Then they go to the combine and work out. And then it's a pro day. Then it's a private workout. And every time they take the field, they're risking injury. So I do think it's been overkill, but – Here is a dynamic that is real. We don't know what Chase Young runs. He didn't run at the combine, and he's not going to run. There's not going to be a pro day. We don't know what Joe Burrow looks like working out or running or going through the passing tree, whatever. He didn't do that at the combine. And I know that some guys are doing their workouts and having videotaped, but I mean, there's nothing like being there live. We don't know what Tua can do before the draft. You know, all because everything's been shut down. But there are dozens of really highly projected players that the NFL doesn't even have a 40 time on, which makes it a bit of a slippery slope. It'll be interesting to see.
That's a great point. And guys, you're not getting that anywhere else, because Pat Dye brings up a great point, something we haven't really discussed or talked about. We're all just going on the assumption, well, they've got enough information. Maybe they don't. And maybe if you roll the dice on a guy, you're really taking a bigger chance without being able to see him as much as we would have under normal circumstances. Pat, I got to ask you this. We let Devontae Freeman go as a running back, and I know you're here in Atlanta and you know what the circumstances were there. We end up picking up Todd Gurley on a one-year deal. You have guys like LaMichael Perrin that you rep and various running backs around the league. Is that becoming one of the hardest to negotiate at that position because of the way that they're valued now?
It has. I think the position in general has been devalued. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott and Le'Veon Bell notwithstanding. And obviously Todd Gurley had a huge contract, but you see what's happened. And I really, really respect Todd. I've met him a few times. I tried to recruit him coming out, didn't get him, but I say this with all due respect, but he hasn't looked like the same guy since he got the contract. And again, I don't know if it's injuries. I don't know if it's just, toll on the body, the knee, what have you. So you make that huge investment in what clearly was the best running back in the league at the time, and bam. I mean, it just looks like, you hit the wall there, and then you've got all this guaranteed money tied up. So it is a position where you're finding – I mean, look at the guy at Denver. Wasn't even drafted. Pro bowler. Philip Lindsay, I guess is his name. Yeah. So and we're in the running back market this year. We had Kenyon Drake, who was going to be the guy because we felt like Derrick Henry was going to get tagged, which he did. And – we felt pretty confident that Kenyon was going to get somewhere between $8 and $10 million a year, which is not 14 a year like Ezekiel Elliott, but it's in that kind of middle tier, which has kind of gone away. It's either, you're making 14 million or you're making eight, and there's not much in between that. So, but I hope things work out for Todd. I hope they work out for the Falcons. I don't know if I'm up to speed on this, but last I read, has he not signed his contract?
No physical yet.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a whole other dynamic that we've had to deal with. I literally just hung out with Nick O'Leary, who's Jack Nicklaus's grandson, by the way. That
FSU tight end, right.
Yeah, FSU tight end, and has bounced around, but he's been in the league for, I don't know, 5-6 years, whatever. So he's signed – he signed with the Raiders, and they couldn't get a physical done in Miami. That's where his family's from. And so he's driving 8 hours to Pensacola to Dr. Andrews, to the Andrews Institute in Pensacola, to get a physical that we will, I guess, email, and the doctor will call the Raiders team doc and get that signed off on. And he's going to turn around and drive 8 hours back, not the same day, but those are the links we're having to go to even get physicals on guys so we can go ahead and consummate the contract.
Wow.
So it's crazy. It really is.
Well,
the rest of our guys, their contracts are actually being held up pending a physical. And we've got one that's in Cincinnati and going to Cleveland, and one that's in Miami going to Buffalo. I mean, it's just – and there was a little consortium set up where team docs were just going to do physicals for other teams, and they trust each other. But that's kind of gone by the wayside because a lot of the doctor's offices are having to be shut down to treat, these emergent patients. So, crazy.
It is. I mean, this is great info, Pat, and we certainly appreciate you coming on. We want to get you on after the draft is done and after the, in a few weeks here and see how this thing plays out. But thank you so much, as always. You're always kind and generous to us, man. Be safe, and be safe to your family as well.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great talking to you all. Take care.
Cool. That's our guy, Pat Dye Jr., as we said. I mean, we'll pick his brain, Carl. I mean, heck, we got the whole month of April. He's stuck like us, so we'll keep rolling the dice. But, yeah, man, that's the thing about just the strangeness. When we talked last week about, well, what is general managers bellyaching about, Pat gives you a great example about how just not having the access to the athletes like they're used to.
All right, guys, coming up, we got some guy talk on the way, and top three at 6. What's up next, Mike?
All right, bro. I got a story about coronavirus and neighbors and people from out of state, and it's in Maine, and it's like right out of a Stephen King movie. You won't believe this story coming up.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
That's right, Carl Dukes, brought to you by our buddies at Resurgence Orthopedics. Resurgence.com to book your appointment. From neck to toes, muscles and bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. And by the way, real quick, a bunch of people were hitting us up going, what was that draft class that Pat Dye Jr. was talking about, Carl? It was the Steelers in 1974. Now, in 70, they got Terry Bradshaw and Mel Blunt, which is pretty cool because both those guys got gold jackets. But Lynn Swann, John Stallworth, Jack Lambert, and Mike Webster all in one draft class. How about that, Chuck Noll and company?
Yeah, that's why they were so good for so long. I mean, and, you know, we talk about free agency. There was none. So those you drafted well, your team was good, right?
Right. And then all the other role players and everything else. But that 74 draft was really, I mean, that was the core for the next couple of Super Bowls that they got. All right, man, got a couple of stories for you. We've seen some of the tales of how Florida at the border, Carl, with state troopers have been pulling over now people with New York license plates, and now they've added that to Louisiana. And they said, you know what? From now on, everybody get off the highway. If you're rolling down 75 or 95, they pull you now into a way station where the 18-wheelers normally go. Now the big rigs get to roll on, but the cars go in there, and they're going to basically screen folks to see where they're coming from. And I don't know if they make you turn back if you're from New York because it's a hot spot, but they're now concerned with Louisiana because of obviously all the cases there and how it's really kind of like really bloomed. So how about that? Depending on where the motorist's origin, they'll be directed to either proceed back to the interstate or pull aside for further screening. So they're not really giving you, I mean, and not telling people that they're going to follow them with the, you know, the car and make sure they get back to the border on the state line. But what do you make of that? Kind of like somehow like the movie Contagion. Remember when he was at the trying to get to the border? I think it was Minnesota and Wisconsin. They got turned back.
Yeah, man. I mean, Mike, did you ever think that you would see something like this in our United States? I didn't. I mean, honestly. Now, they're doing it for precautionary reasons. They want to make sure that everybody is, you know, being safe as possible. And I get it. And you don't want to turn a zone that's, you know, a county or a city that's not a hot zone into one by allowing any and everybody to travel. This is why, and again, I know this is old hat now, but this is why the travel ban was so important. If you guys remember, the first thing we had to do, and I was just in New York before this thing exploded. Mm. But the first thing we had to do was stop people from traveling all over the world because you didn't know who they were encountering and how that was taking place. So that's why that shutting down the airlines is like the first thing you had to do. And that's what we did, obviously. But now, you know, people trying to drive to different states and whatnot, you just got to, they've got to do this. It's unfortunate, okay, but this is where we are.
Okay, so we've talked about some of the hot spots in some of the different cities, and we talked about New York. I know I read a story the other day about how, and I worked, my first radio job was up in the Hamptons in Lifestyles of the Rich and Shameless, and when it's not summertime up there, basically they roll up the sidewalks, and it's all like the local folks, just, you know, people that, you know, the fishermen or the farmers and stuff like that, and a few restaurants and bars that stay open, and they were complaining, Carl, about all the sick people from New York coming in, all the rich millionaires that have their houses out there taking up resources, and so it was kind of weird. Well, this is taking that story to the next level, and this to me was a right out of a Stephen King book. A man residing on Cripple Creek Road in a little town island called Vinilhaven, it's an island off the coast of Maine, calls the police around 3:35 on Friday to report a group of people with guns had cut down a large tree and dragged it in front of his driveway, blocking access to the main road. Man said he left his house to check his property when he noticed the cable went out. He said he retreated to his home and he hailed the Coast Guard using a VHF radio after a neighbor began yelling at him to get indoors and remain quarantined. Call the cops. The armed group finally disperses before authorities show up. Deputies with the Knox County Sheriff's Department, along with the Maine Marine Patrol and the Coast Guard, responded to the scene. It remains under investigation. Local newspaper goes out there and finds out deputies have learned that it's a general belief by some of the island residents that this guy is from out of state. They didn't say what state he's from. Could be Massachusetts. Boston has become a hot spot. They're in obviously some dire straits now as well. Not as bad as New York. Maybe he's a New York license plate, which maybe get people fired up. Whether someone is a Maine resident or not, they have the right to free movement, and anyone who infringes upon that is potentially violating the law. A sheriff's office statement that was released read, but the man and his two roommates have been living in this spot for about 30 days since coming from out of state. So literally out of a Stephen, like, don't you consider that like a Stephen King movie? You know, people are like, He's an outlander. Get him. So they're making sure the guy doesn't drive into town, doesn't get people sick. So they literally, they roll up, chop down a tree so he can't back the car out of his driveway. Just crazy, man.
It is crazy. And you know what? I mean, this is why, like, people, it could easily, I don't want to scare anybody, this could easily turn into Armageddon.
Well, this is why I've always told you, I've told you this before, man. The fabric of society unravels rather quickly, but the cops are saying, look, use common sense. The sheriff's department up there in Maine said, we want to make sure everybody's informed about, COVID-19. Maybe the guy got out of the major city before it got hot, and he's just kicking it at his summer house up in Maine. But, of course, you got, he's not from around here, Caleb. Let's get the chainsaw and make sure he can't leave his home.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just right outside of Castle Rock. It's just so – that's so New England. That struck me as odd when I read that story today. Oh. All right, man. Yeah, we mentioned earlier that Aaron Rodgers, he made it out of Peru and how crazy that was. There's some stories, and we talked about this earlier in our NFL Blitz about how maybe the NFL could quarantine players. Well, the English Premier League is thinking about doing this. English Premier League saying that they might try to lock guys down once they've obviously found some areas that are safe and everyone has been tested, and then play these matches all maybe in one or two locations where they know everything is clean, as it were, when it comes to coronavirus, and thus continuing the English Premier League with everybody on lockdown. Could you ever pull that off? Wouldn't the NBA be a good test case here because there's less moving parts with smaller rosters?
Absolutely. I would think that would be the one that you'd want to start with, but
right.
I mean, are they going to wait until the NBA tests it? They got to get going too, right?
I don't know. I mean, Spain, they're not going to have a season for their soccer league. By the way, Lionel Messi on record saying he's more than willing to take a 70% pay cut. When you think of like the richest teams in the world, you think like Manchester, you think Real Madrid, Barcelona. Well, these guys are, I mean, you want to talk about how, I don't know how these franchises are run over there, but players all taking gigantic pay cuts to help keep the lights on for everybody else. Remember, Barcelona, that's one of the heritage teams, in all of soccer. But the idea that the average Joes, whether it's people that work in the stadiums or people that work in the organization, they're really struggling to make budget. This is Barcelona we're talking about, not one of the bottom feeder teams in Spanish soccer.
Yeah, and Mike, by the way, these guys willing to take pay cuts and all of this to maintain some degree of, I don't even want to say normalcy, but to just have a chance to have their sports back.
Right.
I hate to say this, but I think that might be something else we're going to see. Might be something else we're going to see around the world.
Lionel Messi saying, by the way, that he is certainly cool with it, and he says there was not anybody on the team who wasn't cool with it. They tried to turn it into a story in Spain. He says everybody's down with making the sacrifice. All right, today's March 30th. A lot of birthdays today. Alex Bregman, number one of the cheaters for the Astros. Celine Dion turns 52. Nora Jones, God, there's some depressing music for times like this. She's 41. Tracy Chapman, you've got a fast car, 56. Richard Sherman, L.O.B., he's 32. MC Hammer's birthday today. Carly's 58. What is MC Hammer's real name?
Hammer, please, don't hurt him.
Well, don't hurt Stanley Kirk Burrell. He turns 58. Right. Slow Hand, Eric Clapton,
by the way,
75. Yep.
Speaking of things I found in my basement, I'll have to take a picture of it. I found a ticket stub of an MC Hammer concert that I went to.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I mentioned Clapton, 75. Jerry Lucas, again, remember that Knicks championship team, baby. He turns 80 today. One of the first big men that would drop out and hit the big jump shot. Now we think of like Dirk and other guys can do that. He was probably the first guy in the NBA that could play the paint, jump out, hit the J. My dad loved that dude. Vincent Van Gogh. You're supposed to say Gogh. That's how they're supposed to be pronounced, I found out when I was in Europe. His birthday today. Mr. Bunsen of Bunsen Burner fame from your chemistry class. And Carl, Ingvar Kamprad is born today. Ingvar Kamprad.
Who's that?
He started IKEA.
Oh, okay.
So have you ever tried to put something together that you can't pronounce, you can blame him.
Yeah, well, he's got a little dough.
Yeah. There you go.
Happy birthday, man. All right, coming up, top three at six is on the way. It's Dukes and Bell on a Monday. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.